It's really great to be back here today. This church is special in my heart. This is a church that gave me my first full-time vocational ministry opportunity. This is a church that the elders here ordained me and sent me into ministry. And so this church will always hold a special place in my heart. And it's great to be here today with you. I noticed that you guys are doing trunk or treat, and that's really cool. I like the opportunities that come around Halloween to reach out to people and to connect with people in the community. So I encourage you, be a part of that. Get to know your neighbors, invite your neighbors to come, get to know the people who come. I mean, it's a phenomenal opportunity we have. I don't like Halloween for like the scary stuff, because fear kind of does something to people. I mean, there's two natural responses to fear. There's fight or there's flight. And I don't have flight. A number of years ago, actually, when we were living down here, my wife and I, we went to Universal Studios, and we went through they had a Van Helsing backlot thing, and we're walking through, and my wife screamed, and she got really close, and I spun around, and I hit the performer. It was knee-jerk. I didn't think about it beforehand, and somebody yelled, "Don't hit the performers," and I'm like standing there, and I went, "Well, I'll just act like I'm from Europe and don't understand what you're saying." And then we left the park. So I don't respond well to fear. I have another buddy named Josh, and he was with some friends out in the desert, and they were driving and kind of going along a sand dune, and he's outside of the truck. He's on another little mound, nowhere near the truck. The truck starts to slide down, and he took off running, and he's telling me the story. I'm like, "Where were you going? Like, you're in the middle of the desert." He's like, "I don't know. There was trouble, so I just ran." It's amazing to me how people respond to fear. They've got, you know, flight or they've got fight. There's something else that fear does to us. Fear, for me, cost me years of my life. Years of my life in following Jesus. Not because I hit somebody and went to jail. That's not what it cost me. Fear cost me living this life of adventure. See, Jesus called me into ministry between my junior and senior year of high school. I went home, I shared that with my family, and they weren't Christian, they weren't believers at all. They didn't go to church, and they told me all the reasons. Missed opportunities that would be there. And instead of listening to the call, instead of stepping out in faith and following Jesus, I let fear drive me away. See, I was afraid that I was going to lose my family. I was afraid that I was going to be alone. I was afraid that somehow I was going to fail, that all the weight of this was on me, and somehow I would blow it. And that fear caused me to turn and run from God. I went, joined the army, and it's amazing. Fear kind of cost me all those things I was afraid I was going to lose. It cost me my family. I left my family. It cost me, this opportunity of following God and stepping out of faith. It cost me a lot, and I spent a couple years trying to run from God and trying to sabotage myself so He wouldn't want me anymore. But there's good news. Good news is God's love is so much bigger than any of my failures. And God's love is so much bigger than any of your failures. God's love is so much bigger than anything that we could be afraid of. You see, He wasn't done with me. He kept pursuing me. And as soon as I turned back to God, as soon as I began to follow Him again every single day, He turned my life into an adventure. I was no longer just trying to get by or survive or buy that next new shiny gadget. I now had purpose in my life. And right now, God is leading me to do something pretty crazy. He's leading me to move from the house that we bought and sell that when the market's still not great, and move into another community. He's calling me to leave behind a church that, you know, I've been serving at for 6 years that's been growing. We've been reaching into the community, and He's calling me to leave behind that. He's calling me to leave behind a steady compensation from the church to go and be a missionary, to go and move into a community where people are very comfortable and complacent and hiding behind all the things that they've got. It's not that they don't have problems. They just don't talk about their problems. They just continue to put forth this image. He's calling me to go there to build relationships with people and show them a better way of life. He's calling me into this great adventure. as Jeremy was mentioning, there's opportunity for you to be praying for us. We'd love for you to pray for us. There's opportunity for you to help support if God leads you in that way. And there's information inside of your bulletin. There's a sign-up thing in the back. And if nothing else, fill that out. We'd love to keep you in the loop on the things that God's doing. And what he begins to do is we start a church in Gig Harbor to reach unchurched and never-churched people. People like I was. You see, Jesus changed my life. Actually, Jesus gave me life. He gave me a real life. And he wants to give all of us that kind of life too. The preferred life that you guys have been talking about is a life of adventure. I mean, think about it for a second. We all crave adventure. The books that you read, the TV shows that you watch, the movies that you go to, they all have some sort of adventure there. There's something to be gained or something to be lost. There's some sort of risk there. But oftentimes, instead of living a life of adventure, we settle for living vicariously through a screen and watching other people live that adventure. See, God made you for adventure. That's why you crave it. That's why you look for it. He made you for that. That's the whole reason that you've got breath in your lungs and blood in your veins. And you might be sitting there going, but I've blown it. But I've missed my opportunity. Good news is, with our God, you've never missed your opportunity. As long as you're breathing and your blood is pumping, you still have that opportunity every single day to live a life of adventure. So what's holding you back? Is it fear? Is fear holding you back from this preferred life, this real life? All of Jesus' followers were ordinary people like you and me. None of them were superheroes. They were all ordinary people. Ordinary people that answered an invitation to come and follow Jesus. Two of those guys, Peter and John, they had followed Jesus for years. They'd been learning from him. They had all sorts of different ideas of what he was going to be as the Messiah. They watched him be crucified. Peter denied knowing Jesus. John hid in the shadows while all these things were going down. But after Jesus rose again, after he showed himself to them, after God's Spirit came and empowered them, they were changed people. One day, just months after Jesus was crucified, John and Peter are walking to the temple to worship God. And as they were walking in, they saw a man who had been crippled, a man who had been crippled for years and was at the gate waiting for some sort of handout from somebody. And God empowered them in that moment to heal this man. And this man who couldn't walk all of a sudden could walk. And when went in with them celebrating into the presence, into a temple that he was excluded from going into because he was crippled, and crippled people weren't allowed in the temple. So he's going in and he's rejoicing and people are seeing this, and it gathers a crowd again around them. And Peter and John use that opportunity to begin telling people about Jesus. And they do this without fear. As this crowd gathers around, you might think that they would start to kind of talk about how much God loves them and how much, you know, he's got this great plan for them. That's not what they did. Acts chapter 3 verse 15 says this. This is what they were saying. You killed the author of life, but God raised him. God raised Jesus from the dead. We're witnesses of this. We saw this. By faith in the name of Jesus, so in the authority of Jesus, by his power, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him, through Jesus, that has completely healed him, as you can see. So they begin to tell people about this Jesus that, yes, they had watched die and they had called for his execution. And that this power was because of Jesus. It wasn't because of anything that Peter or John did. Now, the religious authorities, they didn't like this, because they had been the ones who'd been lobbying for Jesus' death. So they had Peter and John arrested and brought in, and they began to interrogate them, and they tried to intimidate Peter and John. And they discovered something that they didn't expect. These guys who once cowered, these guys who once ran and hid, were now standing before them, telling them about Jesus, and they wouldn't stop. These ordinary blue-collar fishermen could not be scared into silence. Acts chapter 4, verse 8 says this. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we're being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name, the authority, the power of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Jesus the Messiah, the one that you've been waiting for, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone that the builders rejected, which has become the chief cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else. There is no name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Then it says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, and they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. See, following Jesus changes you. When you're following, you're learning from him, and you're going, God, help me to apply the truths that you have here in the Bible to my life. Help me to practice these things and not just know them in my head, but really in my life. You're transformed. You get a boldness to you that you didn't have before. It doesn't mean that you're going to stand on the street corner and yell at people. No, you've got courage that comes from security in knowing Jesus. Another follower of Jesus, a guy named Paul, he lived this preferred life, this life of adventure too. Before Paul knew Jesus, he went by his birth name of Saul. And Saul was on the fast track to become a real big deal in the Jewish religion. And he was going to become a real big deal in their community. But he left all those things behind when he came face to face with the risen Jesus. He left his life of trying to make a name for himself by trying to persecute and destroy the church to become one of the biggest advocates of the church. God used this guy, Paul, to travel around all over the Roman world and tell people about Jesus and begin churches to reach people who didn't know Jesus, weren't following Jesus, were living lives very different than the one that Jesus came to give them. Because of his efforts, Paul was rewarded by being beaten and stoned, not that kind of stoned, left for dead. 3 times he was shipwrecked. All day, all night, he drifted at sea. There were times where he worked really hard and he saw no return. He knew what it was to be hungry and to be thirsty and to be cold and to be underclothed. Paul knew what it was to be overwhelmed for this burden to reach people who didn't know Jesus, who were settling for something less than the preferred life that Jesus came to give to all of us, this life that he was now living. He found purpose in Jesus. He found the reason that he was made. It was this preferred life that led Paul to say something like this when he was in the midst of facing danger. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, it says this, "For to me to live is Christ. If I'm going to be alive, I'm going to be following Jesus. To live is Christ, and to die, they take my life. If that's what it comes down to, and I lose everything, and I lose my life, well, that's gain. I get to go be with Jesus. I get to go be with my Maker. I get to go and celebrate with him and know that I did not waste my life." To Jesus. Just before the end of his life, he was writing a letter to a guy that he apprenticed in ministry, a guy named Timothy. And he wrote these words to him. They're found in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. "For the Spirit God gave us." So when you become a follower of Jesus, God doesn't just go, okay, here's a bunch of rules, follow these things, good luck. When you become a follower of Jesus, God says, "I'm going to give you my presence. You're not going to go through life alone anymore. You don't have the strength to do the things that I'm calling you to do, so I'm going to be with you and I'm going to empower you to do it." So the Spirit he gave us doesn't make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. I mean, those are things that we need in life. We need power to be able to push forward. We need love because it's really easy to love people who love you back, but it's really difficult to practice the thing that Jesus calls us to do and love our neighbor and love the person who means us harm. And self-discipline. We need self-discipline because our old life loves to try to entice us back. The sin that used to hold us in bondage loves to try to call us back. Our addictions that we laid down when we followed Jesus love to try to get us to come back. So he gives us what we need every day. So do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join me in suffering. I bet you didn't think that the preferred life would include suffering, but it does. For the gospel, for the good news, by the power of God. He has saved us and has called us to live a holy life. He's calling you, not just me, he's calling you to live a holy life. Holy means to be separated for something good. That's what he's inviting you into. Not because of anything that we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. I mean, we're invited into this because God has a bigger plan for our life than we could ever come up with on our own. We don't need to be timid. We don't need to be fearful if we're following Jesus. When we surrender our life to Jesus' leadership, we're forgiven. And we receive God's presence every single day. If God forgives us, then we don't need to fear our past anymore. If our lives are revolving around fulfilling our own self-centered desires, whether we call ourselves Christians or not, we're living as enemies of God. We're living opposed to his way. Paul wrote a letter to a church, to a bunch of Christians in the city of Rome, and he said those things. And he told them that there's no religious system, there's no self-righteous acts that you can do, that I could do on our own to restore ourselves into friendship and good standing with God. Listen to these words. Romans chapter 8, verse 13 through 17. For if you're living according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. See, it doesn't matter the things that you've done in the past. If you put your faith and your trust in Jesus and you're saying, Jesus, lead me in life, guess what? You are a child of God. That's your identity now. You're not an alcoholic. You're not addicted to this. You're not an adulterer. You're not a homosexual. You're not any of those things. You're a child of God when you put your faith in Jesus and you trust your life to him. The Spirit you receive does not make you a slave so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him, we cry, Abba, which means daddy, father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. We have something to inherit, something that we're going to gain from this preferred life, this identity as a child of God. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Life is going to be difficult. Whether you're trying to follow Jesus or not, life is going to be difficult. Trust him with your everyday life. Trust him with your eternity. And you'll see that your life and the trials that you go through won't be wasted. If you're a child of God, you'll live a life of adventure. A life filled with sacrifice and risk, but a life also filled with purpose and meaning. Jesus told a story about his kingdom, about the kingdom of heaven. In the Bible, there's lots of these parables that are there. You can find it in Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 14. In some of the seat back Bibles, it's on page 983, and in others, it's on page 702. I'm going to kind of jump around as we look at the story that Jesus was telling. Again, it, the kingdom of God, will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his ability. Then he went off on his journey. So this master calls in people who work for him, his employees, and he says, okay, I'm going to trust you with my wealth while I'm gone. And he knew what they were capable of doing. He's not going to give them more than they're able to be responsible for, so he entrusts them with what they can handle. The guy who had 5 bags of gold, he took risks, he worked hard, and he doubled it to 10. The guy who had 2, he took risks, he worked hard, he doubled it to 4. The guy who had 1, he dug a hole, and he stuck it in there, and he kept it safe because he was afraid of failing. Because he was afraid what would happen if he risked everything and he lost it all. He took no risk, He experienced no adventure, no danger, no effort. I mean, life was probably pretty easy for him when his master was away. All he had to do was look out for himself. He didn't have to look out for anybody else. Verse 19 says, after a long time, the master of those servants returned to settle the accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5 and said, Master, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I've gained 5 more. The master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many. Come and share in your master's happiness. He says, come and be a part of this. It's not just what you did for me, it's what you did with me. And now you're going to get to see the reward that's there. And the master says the exact same thing to the one who was entrusted with 2 and doubled it to 4. It wasn't like he went, okay, well, you now got, you gained 5, so I love you more. And you did 2, nice effort. No, he gave them the exact same speech, the exact same reward he invited them into. But the man who only received 1 bag of gold and hid it, he had other words for. The man came to him and said, Master, I knew you were a hard man. I went out and I hid your gold in the ground. Here it is. I'm giving you what belongs to you. I'm giving you this what you've entrusted me. I'm just giving it back to you. Master wasn't happy with that. Sometimes fear can keep us from doing something with the life that God has entrusted to us. Sometimes fear can become the fuel for the excuses for us to be lazy and go, well, I don't want to risk something. I don't want to blow it. I don't want to make a mistake, so I might as well just kind of coast through. I love the way that the message shares what the master said to this servant who gave him back his 1 bag of gold. This is Matthew chapter 25, verse 26 in the message. The master was furious. That's a terrible way to live. It's criminal to live cautiously like that. He's saying, you have broken the law the way that you're living. You're just, that's what you think life is? If you knew if you knew I was after the best, why didn't you at least go and put it into the bank? At least you could have done something with what I gave to you and gained some interest from the bankers. Take this bag of gold and give it to the one who risked, verse 28 says. The one who risked the most. And get rid of this play it safe who won't go out on a limb. Throw him out into the utter darkness. He says, get rid of this guy who's not willing to put it all on the line, the one who's not willing to step out and do something with what I entrusted to him. See, this servant had an unhealthy view of his master. The servant thought that his master was a hard man. He thought that he was an unfair man. Well, the way he responded to the other two, I don't think he was unfair or hard. But even if he was, don't you think that he should have followed what his master told him to do? Sometimes we let a distorted view of God keep us from following him. We think that God is hard or unfair or unjust. So we say, we're just going to live life on our own. He's not. We can approach him. We can turn to him. We can trust him. I want to ask you a question. Are you playing it safe right now? With the way that you're living, are you playing it safe? Are you allowing fear to rob you of life? That's no way to live. If that's what you're doing, you're not really living. You're just existing. You're just getting by. Is fear of being found out keeping you isolated in some sort of secret sin? You don't want people to know what you've done or where you've been or what you're stuck in right now. So you don't tell anybody about it because you're afraid of how they're going to respond to you. Well, guess what? Each and every person in this room, including me, has blown it big time. All of us have struggles. All of us face temptation. None of us are perfect. None of us are worthy of being in God's presence. It's only by his love and grace that we can approach and talk to him. Will you let someone that you trust, reach out to somebody and let them know what's going on in your life? Don't let fear hold you back. Don't let fear keep you isolated in sin anymore. Will you talk with God about it? God knows everything. You're not going to surprise him. You're not going to shock him. Jesus knew what we were going to do when he chose to go to the cross and lay down his life in exchange for us. He chose to die because of what you are struggling with, and he wants to set you free from that and give you real life. Will you turn to him? Is fear causing you to hide or to hoard stuff? Community. God has given all of us different gifts and talents and nice, comfortable life for ourselves so we can join him in an adventure, so we can see him do something greater than what we could do on our own. He's going to take care of all of our needs as we follow him and trust in him. We don't need to fear loss. I was talking with Jeremy backstage, and we were talking about this idea of kind of leaving stuff behind. And I said, well, you know what? What's the worst that can happen? And going to start a church, we lose everything. Guess what? It wasn't ours anyway. We'll just start over. Is fear of rejection keeping you from surrendering your life to Jesus? Are you afraid that you're going to share with somebody in the church, this is what I'm going through, and I need Jesus to save me, and they're going to go, wow, that's really bad. No, they're not. They've gone through similar things, and they face similar things, and God's rescuing them and has rescued them from similar things. God is not going to reject you, and this church is not going to reject you either. I know. I've been here. I've experienced the love and grace of the people in this community. Turn to them. 1 John chapter 4, verses 18 and 19 say this. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. I'm learning to love other people because God loves me. I'm learning how to love God because God loves me. He wants to teach you how to live loving others. We let him do that. The band's going to come out, and they're going to lead us in a song. And as you're singing this song, make this a prayer to God. Ask him to give you faith, to give you strength, to empower you to live this life of adventure. Because you can't do it on your own, and I can't do it on my own either. At the conclusion of the song, there are going to be people up front. But if you need to talk with somebody, you want somebody to pray with you, they're going to be here to talk and pray with you. Let me pray for us right now. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love and your grace. Thank you for inviting us into real life, a preferred life, a life of adventure. God, forgive us for the days that we've wasted. Forgive us for the times that we've allowed fear to hold us back from approaching you. Lord, I want to pray for the person in the room today that doesn't know you, who hasn't trusted their life with you, who thinks that for some reason the things that they've done exclude them from this life that you're inviting them to. Lord, I pray that you would help them to know how much they're loved by you and how they can turn their life to you right now and receive a new life, a real life in you. Thank you again for your love and your grace. Thank you for inviting us in this life of adventure. We pray all of this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.